following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
It's Packer Week here at Halas Hall alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin, pleased to be joined by a first-timer to the Bears All-Access Show. That would be three-technique defensive tackle Jeremiah Ratliff. And before we get to the Bears, Packers, second half of the season and all this kind of stuff, you went to Auburn.
Right.
Is Auburn the best team in college football right now?
Yes. Yes.
Do you like the playoff?
I do. I wish they would have had it a long time ago, but I do.
Yeah, because Tom's a Notre Dame guy. You know, he probably feels that the Irish need to get up there in that Final Four.
I want to go back to the Auburn thing, because when I see a football player. If you came out of Auburn as a tight end, could you play in the NFL, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, because just saying you played tight end initially at Auburn, correct?
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. When I look at you as a football player, you turned into a defensive tackle. But what was the turning point? What was the turning point from tight end to defensive tackle? Defensive line?
To be completely blunt and honest, I just want to get on the field. We had two great tight ends already playing.
Very good.
It was Robert Johnson and Lorenzo Diamond. I think they both played a little bit in the league. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to get on the field and not waste a year. So I converted to defense my second year. I spent that year trying to learn what to do on defense. I mean, I was lost because I played offense pretty much all my life.
Well, I had a similar experience. My freshman year, there were so many injuries on the defensive line. I got to play defensive line my freshman year and get some playing time. But I had no idea what I was doing. And now when I see, like, your initial reaction, you get double team, you go to a knee, boom, you have a specific exact technique of how to do everything from the eyes of a defensive lineman.
Right.
It's hard playing defensive line when you don't know anything about the position.
And that is very, very true. I mean, what you see today, I mean, that's a process, and it's still a process. I mean, you, as you know, you never stop learning in this game. You never stop tweaking your techniques, and you never stop, adding to your toolbox, you know, that can work for you.
Right. Do you have a preference? Like, they call you three-technique defensive tackle. If you had the ultimate rush for the biggest third down of your career, would you want to go over the right guard, left guard? What is the best rush for Jeremiah?
It really doesn't matter.
All right.
I've been placed all across the line, you know, throughout my whole career. You know, I played some Sam linebacker, you know, with Bill Parcells.
Right.
You know, I played defensive end. I played, you know, 3-4 nose tackle, nose guard in a 4-3 defense. And, you know, obviously a 3-technique. But wherever I'm needed, you know, I'll adapt.
Right, that first rush of the Miami game, I think it caught everybody. First rush of the Miami game, because you kind of go to the line. They come to the line of scrimmage. You're maybe thinking run a little bit.
No, I am thinking run.
Yeah, on that down, but then all of a sudden, boom, you hit the guard, you kind of crush him back, and then you get into the path of the quarterback. What did just one step take the next step you into that rush?
Well, I did the necessary steps to come off the ball and defending the run technique.
Right.
And after the second step, you know, I realized his hands were somewhat wide as he was trying to grab me. And I knew then that it was passed. So
right.
It was like, now I got to get on the edge as fast as possible.
Yeah, it's not just strength. There's a technique to it that
right.
I think, unless you're down there and have done it, you really have no idea. Because you can't really see it from the angle on TV that we're watching the game mm-hmm. from.
But the thing that impresses me most about Jeremiah, it's your second technique. Because defensive linemen rarely win their first move. If they don't have a real competitive and immediate reaction second move, it's hard for you to get to the quarterback. And I remember like a couple games last year, I wish I could recall them, that it was the second moves that you were getting sacks on. And again, I think that's what defensive linemen have to be, because rarely do you win the first time.
And that's true. That's something that we often talk about. You know, win on your second effort. You know, it's very rare that you win on the first pass rush. And then to add on what you were saying, you know, you have smart quarterbacks in this league, and they get the ball out fast, you know, like, you know, 1, maybe 2 seconds. And, you know, the average pass rush takes about 3.
It's amazing. You came in with a 7-step drop, which is almost
right,
no
right,
longer.
Yeah, that's not happening anymore.
Now it's pistol 2.5 steps.
Does right. anyone get rid of it faster than the guy that you're going to be playing this week?
Brady was pretty close.
Certainly wasn't. And the reason I bring up Aaron Rodgers, though, is because you were not on the field for that game. You were recovering from the concussion.
Right.
It should make a big difference having you in the middle there and Jared Allen back on the outside. Both of you guys were not able to play in that game.
Well, we would definitely like to hope so. But this is one of those games, you know, we take, you know, very seriously, not just because it's a division game, but, you know, we're in a position where we have to win out. So every week is going to be the same. You know, this is right now it truly is a one-week season for us. So we have to win out.
You like hearing the quarterback's cadence, or do you like playing at home where you don't hear the cadence? You kind of fall into that rhythm of the ball moving. Because, you know, you get these quarterbacks with clever voices, and it's tough. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to hear Aaron Rodgers' cadence. What do you like as a defensive lineman?
I don't listen to the cadence.
You don't? Okay.
Yeah, some of these quarterbacks are too good with that. I stopped doing that, like, after my rookie year. I go off movement. And to be honest with you, it's not always the ball.
Right.
You know, you study film, and you watch your offensive lineman, and you'll notice some kind of key. You know, we're creatures of habit, and you'll see some O-linemen, you know, shake their hand a little bit, or they'll have their heel up or start leaning one way, you know, trying to anticipate the next move, and you kind of go off that.
You know, it is amazing the way the scouting has changed, because I remember there were years in this building where Tommy Harris, a very successful three technique for a while with the Bears, he would stay late at Halas Hall in one of the meeting rooms and turn up the volume on the TV sound in order to hear what the quarterback was saying. So he could kind of gauge that. But now it's changed completely.
Right. Now, some guys still do that. Some guys still want to know the cadence. They still want to know the quarterback, you know, stance, how he opened up and his feet work. But I'm like,
doesn't help.
You're a D lineman. You know, like, my first key is the guard, you know, and after that second step or so, then I'm finding where the ball is.
You know, a reference to that subject is after the Green Bay-Miami game, Aaron Rodgers made a point of saying Joe Feldman really had those guys in tune with my silent count. So he knew what the routine was for Aaron to go through his count in that type of environment. And he said the defensive ends, the defensive line, they were more in tune what the get-off was of his cadence, and it did help him because they put consistent pressure on Aaron.
And that was true. Well, you know, watching film this week, we saw some of those same things. You know, like, you're trying to figure out what are these defensive linemen, you know, getting off of. And I guess it is the cadence or the head bob, but at the end of the day, you know, those things change. And when the game comes, you know, we'll find the rhythm and, you know, we'll play off of that.
So much is made about the way Aaron Rodgers can manipulate a defense because he's so smart. Is there a way that you guys can get in his head?
Well, first, for us, is to take care of our business, you know, and just execute, right? All right, and then stay calm and hit him as much as possible. Every chance you get to hit him, you know, all within the, you know, rules of the game.
Till the
you
whistle.
Know, I mean, because you don't want to hurt the defense or your pockets or what have you. But to try to do that as much as possible and just be real physical with them. That's the game plan.
We got to take a time out. When we come back, we're talking with, I think, the second most famous former tight end in Auburn history in Chicago.
Frank Thomas.
Yeah.
Big guy. I tell you, they must do a good job recruiting tight ends there. Can you hit a curveball?
Oh, man, I haven't been at a plate in years.
Jeremiah Ratliff is our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by Subway. Stop by your local Subway restaurant today and try a flavor-packed double meat sub from the Bears lineup. Limited time only. Subway, eat fresh. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabin from the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Halas Hall. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, with our guest, defensive tackle Jeremiah Ratliff. And, you know, I keep going back to the thing that has hurt the Bears this season, and you talked a little bit about it. There are things on offense, but defensively, it's consistent execution correctly. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, you guys have not been able to do it. When it's done right, it looks great. But what can you put your finger on as to why that hasn't happened on a consistent basis?
At this point, I really don't know. And it's right now, it's just all about taking care of now. We can't do anything to change the past. You know, the record is what, you know, that's where we're at right now. And, you know, for the rest of these games, we just have to do something about it. And that's all I see, you know, and get better. You know, find something else to work on to take with you to the game, like, all week. And that's the plan.
You know, I think the key element to the Bears playing at their best is every phase plays as well as they can play. I think if you go and you look at the Bears tape and you're looking at one position or one guy or one thing to be better, that's not the right thing. It's about everybody, because when the Bears have played a complete game throughout this regular season, you see the results. You see what the Atlanta results were on Matt Ryan, or the special teams contributions with the Jets, or the big plays they made in San Francisco. All these types of plays that have been made, it's because of the whole team's playing well. If you try to put too much pressure on one phase of the game, it's going to be hard to succeed. It's everybody accepting the pressures that you have to.
Well, and that's part of it, you know, like I'm just – there's enough pressure, you know what I mean? Like, you know, anything outside, we don't need to listen to. We just need to focus on our job. And again, back to the Atlanta game, I think the biggest thing, you know, we did a great job stopping the run. You know, got ahead and we got enough pass for a situation.
Right.
And you got a taste of, you know, what we can do as far as a defense after, as far as getting after the quarterback. And that's what we need to do this week. Take care of the run.
How many times you've been in Lambeau Field? Very many times or not very many?
I don't know. I've been there a few times.
Because, you know, it is having the emotions of the Bears-Packers games. It's not hard to get the team up from the beginning of the week to the time that you guys kick off. This is something that the emotions do climb a little bit every day, and they get a little bit more aggravating and everything. But that's kind of fun of a game like this.
Well, it is. And this one motto I always say when it, you know, for games like this, it's just a game. At the end of the day, it's just a game. We got the same job, no matter what the hype is around the game. Everything is, we have the same job, and I'm kind of approaching it with that mentality. And looking at the team and the demeanor of the team, the way we practice this week, it seems that everyone has the same thought process.
You know what I learned last year when Jeremiah Ratliff played his first game against Minnesota, and he was getting ready for the first time as a Bear. You wear a lot of face paint. It comes from the bottom of the eyelid down to where your beard starts. And didn't the NFL kind of change the rules in terms of how much of that eye black you can use?
Well, I guess they did. I found out. What was it? For the Patriots game, they came in the second quarter or something and told me that I need to take off the face paint.
Right.
Like, I've been wearing the same style face paint for like 10 years now.
Yeah, you can't get away with it in New England. For whatever reason, the rules changed there for some reason. But it was interesting because I remember that a lot of your teammates, you know, Patrick Manley, longtime Bear, he saw you warming up and he's like, you have a different warm-up style. There's an intensity on your face that is palpable compared to the rest of your teammates. And everyone warms up different. You know, some guys joke around, they get loose. You get in whatever that zone that you hit mentally. How do you – I mean, it's scary. I backed away from you during warm-ups.
just get myself ready for battle. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, we're nothing more than modern-day gladiators. So, you know, we're getting our mind right to, you know, just, you know, do our job. And
was it weird?
That's how we get mine done.
Your first game back, though, after a period of time away from the game, you're on a new team.
Yeah.
A lot of the Bears fan base had big expectations for you, and they had big need for the expectations for you. Was that kind of weird getting ready for that game specifically, or was it just like I said, like another division game, you got to get prepared before the game starts?
Oh, at that point, I wasn't even thinking about a division game.
Right.
You know, like you said, you know, it was the first time I played in a while. First time I actually put on pads was that game.
Right.
So it was a lot of adjustments, a lot of things that was going through my head. I was, you know, real thankful, you know, for to be able to play again and everything that I've been through. All this stuff is going through all my head, you know, at the same time.
Did you have 2 days of non-pad practice and then play the game?
Pretty much.
Which is amazing when you consider what you were coming back from initially. And did you ever doubt that you could come back, not just to play, but to play at the level that you were used to playing at?
I had my low periods. I did. But I knew eventually at some point, you know, I'll be able to go again.
Because that's what you know, you were coming back from a number of different injuries to your legs, not just one thing.
Yeah, it was a mess.
But you know, too, is it's funny because whenever you talk to about you to other scouts, other people around the NFL, he doesn't look like a conventional defensive lineman. You look different. You're not the same interior defensive tackle that the Tony Siragusa style. You have a lot more length to you and a lot more style. So I think that was one of the curiosities. Would your injury affect the way that you can play because you're kind of unique in the way you're built and your style of play? And I think that was one thing everybody was waiting to look at, that it didn't have any after effects on your game or your style.
Well, now, no.
Yeah.
Now, no. But before, like, even towards the end of last year, you know, I wasn't, 100%. But I was out there. And this year, I feel a lot better. I feel a lot better.
We have to take a timeout. When we come back, you played under some of the best coaches in NFL history. And I want to find out what you took from each one and how that's made your game better. Jeremiah Ratliff is our guest. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner. Stop by one of their 44 Chicagoland locations for Chicago's favorite stuffed pizza, or visit Giordano's.com to order now. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Halas Hall. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, with our guest defensive tackle, Jeremiah Ratliff. Do you know off the top of your head, can you quickly list all the coaches you played for in the NFL?
Man, well, it starts with Bill Parcells.
That's a whole show right there.
Yeah,
right.
Bill Parcells, Mike Zimmerman, Sean Payton, Todd Haley. you know, we got Paul Pasqualoni, Reggie Herring, Wade Phillips. Well, yeah, and you know the Cowboy staff now.
Right.
I have had a lot of coaches.
Yeah, exactly. So who influenced you the most? I would guess Parcells, just because you were a young player in the league.
Well, Parcells, you know, I guess as far as the mentality, you know, you come in, you know, as a rookie, and your eyes are kind of, you know, big. And Parcells was a hard coach, but there was a method to the madness. You know, he talked to you real harsh, and if you just took it or put your head down or something like that, like, he'll ride you to, you know, it's over, and then get rid of you. But the second you snap back at him, oh, he loved it, because he felt like it was like, if you back down from him while he's talking to you, you're going to back down on the field. And, you know, he didn't want guys. Yeah, like, and from what I understand, like, he was like a psychology major or something like that, so you can understand the mind games. But Casey Rogers would be the guy who's helped me the most.
In what areas?
Defensive line. Defensive line. Like, he's coaching at Miami right now. But my first few years in the league, that's who I was with. I mean, coached me from the ground up. As I said, when I came out, I didn't know anything.
So technically,
when you were a young guy with Dallas, was there any struggle between Parcells and the owner, or was it Bill Parcells' team and whatever they did was behind their closed doors?
Back then, to be honest with you, I was too young to really know what was going on. You know, I was just trying to make
it. Because Bill was such a powerful guy, but the brand of the Dallas Cowboys is big. And, you know, it just I guess when you have a brand that big.
I think what I like about Bill didn't care about any of that. Right, right. You know, like, that's what I like about him. Like, all the glitz, the glamour, the flashing lights. Bill is just an old football coach. And I guess that's one of the reasons I really like him.
What about his style of defense? Because I guess it's good for you, because you have an opportunity to play a wide variety of defenses, considering what you're in the Bears now and what you were going through as a young guy with Parcells.
Mm-hmm. Well, with Parcells, his defense is very simple, very basic. There's not a lot of moving parts. He wants to line tough guys up.
But you would have been a defensive end.
And beat you. No.
You think you would have been a nose guard in a Parcells system?
He was the one who put me at nose.
Really?
Yes.
That surprises me, because I think, you know, you see Parcells, you think of Jim Burt and some of the nose he's played with in the older course.
Yeah, yeah, he helped coach me too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he was there too.
I played against him in college. But again, I thought that you would be a guy that would be a defensive end type player in that type of
Well,
system.
That's what he had me listed as, and then he had me go out to linebacker, Sam linebacker, and then, you know, for nose, my first time playing nose ever was we were playing the Tennessee Titans. That's when Kevin Mawai was still playing, mm-hmm. you know, the all-pro center.
Right.
And he was like, all right, Jay, I want you to go in the game. And so I'm running on the sideline, like running from the sideline. I'm like, you know, who do I get? You know, Canty or Spears? He's like, no, get Ferg. Get Jason Ferg.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, man, my stomach dropped. Like, you know, because I never took a rep at nose, but he told me to go play nose. But he did tell me before, he was just like, hey, I want you to look at the nose spot. You know, you're not going to get any reps, but I just want you to just know what's going on, because, you know, we can use you everywhere. You are an X. That's what you are.
What was Jason Ferguson's reaction? Because, you know, you go in there for an unexpected guy, and he thinks you're coming in for the defensive end, and all of a sudden you go, hey, Jason, I'm in for you.
He didn't say anything. He just ran off. I guess he needed a blow or whatever. And the rest
is history.
Well, from then in, I still play, you know, every single position, mainly on packages. And then Jason Ferguson went down, and then I became the nose.
Right.
And the rest was history.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you look fondly back at the Dallas memories, or because it kind of ended a little rough, or do you just kind of put that out of your mind? How do you?
Some of them, you know, like the most recent part, you know, like the last year or so, like, yeah, I put that out. That is what it is. Take care of yourself when the time comes.
I was thinking about you when, you know, you see what's going on now with the quarterback there and the owner on the field and all that kind of stuff, and can't even imagine what's running through your mind when you watch the highlights of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we're going to leave that one alone.
Well, it's weird. I mean, you watch that from afar, because even I've never been a part of a scenario like that in football. Because if you're a grunt, if you're an offensive and defensive lineman, most of that stuff doesn't even enter your phase or the next play, because you're so considered about your next effort more than anything else that's going on.
Now, one of your, I'm sure, favorable experiences from your days in Dallas was working with Paul Pasqualoni, who you're working with now. And he's a different kind of cat.
Yeah, See, Paul, that's another guy. That's like the jack of all trades. I mean, when I got there, he was coaching, tight ends. Then I saw him coach linebackers when he had Greg Ellis and DeMarcus Ware. And then he moved down to D-line, and then he was D-coordinator and D-line coach. And then he left to go to Miami, and now here we are in Chicago as a D-line coach.
Well, you know what? If you're in the game long enough, eventually your paths are going to recross.
Well, I was at Syracuse just as a student when he was the head coach of the football team, and I think his knowledge as a head coach helps the guys that he's coaching on the defensive line, because you get an understanding of what the other side's trying to do. At least that's what the young guys on this team have
been telling. That's true, because, as I said before, he's coached like every position on the field. He knows the techniques. I mean, even the quarterback drop steps. You know, his mechanics, everything. He knows, you know, everything. And, you know, it's been good to get tips from him.
And to me, he's also, at least watching him on the sidelines, you have to be a psychologist to deal with the different personalities that you guys have on your defensive line during the game. Because you got Jared, who's a little different than you, a little different than Ego. And then, you know, Will Sutton has his own personality. Willie Young is Willie Young. You know, and Lamar, when he was playing, also brings something. So that's not easy to do, I think, to manage all those personalities and work with everyone together equally.
Or it could be easy for him.
Maybe.
You know, but we're on the same page with everything. All of our personalities mesh well. And, you know, all we care about is winning games. Like, you know, whoever you are, you be you. You know, we accept you for whoever you are, and let's go out here and win this thing together. That's the mentality.
I had a chance to play for three Hall of Fame coaches, and George Allen and Don Shula and Mike Ditka, and then you playing for Coach Parcells. It's interesting when you're around these guys, because their knowledge of the entire realm of football, they're aware of everything. I was on kickoff return my whole career,
right,
from the very first game to my very last game. And you'd have these head coaches that would give hints and clues about kickoff return, or else what your stance is like on a big third, or whatever the case may be. Is their knowledge is so well-rounded that it was always neat to be, you know, being able to grow up around them.
Right. Right. That was another big thing with Parcells. On Saturday, he'll line everybody up. When I say everybody, I'm talking coaches. I mean, everybody. And he go through all kind of different scenarios, and he'll call out a random person to answer the question. Nobody can help him, any of that. I mean, like, it was like one of the most intimidating times.
Pressure before the play.
Right, right.
Man, it's the pop quiz. All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, there was a Bear who said the other day that this is it for him. This is likely going to be his last season as a Bear. He's one of the most decorated players in franchise history. We'll get your thoughts on Lance Briggs.
That's mid-season chatter.
Yeah, but who says it in mid-season? Well, we'll find out next.
Right
here on
Bears
All Access. I did not ask him the question. Why'd he answer?
Leave him alone.
Well, we'll see. Bears All Access rolls on with Jeremiah Ratliff on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access brought to you by H.H. Gregg Appliances, Electronics, Furniture. Guys, it's time to decide on the player of the first half of the season. That's what we're going to do here brought to you by Sports Authority, all things sporting goods. Guys, I need your help for me to decide who the player of the first half of the Bears season was. And we're with Jeremiah Ratliff and Tom Thayer here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I put together a mini list, and you guys, you know, you may add names to this, but we got to pick one. So we can go with Matt Forte. We can go with Martellus Bennett. On defense, Willie Young, Kyle Fuller. Am I missing anybody?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Michael Ola. That's my offensive MVP.
I like that pick.
Played three, you know, he's played three position and could fill into a fourth and from the week one of the season. But, you know, I like your other ones too, but I wanted to put Michael in there.
If you had to pick one, because we do.
I'll pick Michael.
Michael Ola, first half MVP. Who would you go with, Jeremiah?
Oh, man. That's a hard pick out of Martellus and then Alshon, you know.
And I love Matt.
You can't leave out Alshon.
Yeah, no, there's so many different ones. So I think, well, we'll go with Tom because you're the elder statesman. I can't argue with you. I'm too small.
But, no, I mean, that's every one of those guys you can't because Martellus has had an incredible first half of the year, but he has to have a better second half of the season, just like Michael. Everybody that's counted on is you've gone through the first half of the season now.
Yeah, Matt Forte leads the NFC in catches.
Guy's a stud.
Been, you know, a triple threat with his ability to block, catch, and run.
Right.
And then, you know, Willie Young has had the sacks. I'm going to go Forte just because of the all-around game. So we'll give it to Matt Forte.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I mean
you're not slighting anybody. Hey, Jeremiah, what round were you drafting? The seventh round?
Seven.
You had to be mad. Because I was drafting the fourth round, and I was disappointed. And I know I don't know you, but I see what type of dedicated football player you are, and I can't believe you were happy about getting drafted in the seventh round. Or were you just happy to be in the NFL and get your shot?
Yeah, I was just happy to have a shot. You know, like after those first three, four rounds, I didn't care anymore.
Right.
You know, it was all about just getting a shot, and when I came in, it was just – playing with an edge on your shoulder, and I don't think that edge is ever going to leave.
Right. A couple days before the NFL draft, one of the scouts came out and said, hey, we had a mock draft, and we drafted you in the fourth round. And I was so disappointed the next weekend I signed with the USFL.
Wow.
And played there for three seasons and then came back here. But, again, you live life as a guy that grows up. Like, when in high school did you know you're going to play pros?
I didn't.
You didn't? Mm-mm. When did it click to you that you were going to be a professional football player?
Probably after my first 2 weeks in, like after, you know, the final cut.
Of the NFL?
Yeah.
Really? You never had the aspirations in college and signing your name on a piece of paper going, hey, this is how I'm going to sign my autograph when I play in the NFL?
Never. I never really had that.
Really?
You know.
I'm glad I get a chance to talk to you because I was surprised. I really thought that, you know, when you talk to guys about the draft and stuff, you know, sometimes it gets personal like that.
And to go from that to you're now a guy that, and you see it when you watch the games, where the young guys come to you to seek your advice on what they need to do. Will Sutton, Eagle Ferguson, Stephen Paya, who taught you that you can be the kind of guy to them now? Because someone must have helped you early on.
Absolutely, and that's exactly where I was going. There was Greg Ellis, Leroy Glover, Jason Ferguson. Those three guys. Leroy Glover made me come in early every morning. I mean, well, come in early before every practice and work a pass. He'd give me a different pass rush move. Hey, work this, work that. Greg Ellis, you know, great guy on the field, off the field, you know, very, very, you know, business savvy. And Jason Ferguson, he was just all about the whole game, you know, the tendencies of the game, where the ball may go. And everything that happened, they all told me at some point, hey, man, you know, what you do is like, you know, you're going to be playing this league for a long time. When it's your time to help the younger guys out, do the same thing that was done for you.
It's a privilege.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. And I never ever forgot that because neither one of them, as decorated as they are, had to help me. They didn't have to spend any time. I mean, like, that's not in their contract. They don't get paid for it. That was just something they chose to do, and I never forgot that, and I just want to do the same thing.
You know what's neat is every one of those guys are a little different. The snap count anticipation of Leroy Glover is as good as you can get in the league. Ellis is a taller guy, still has bulk to him, but he's a longer defensive lineman. And then Jason Ferguson, Are you guys built similar, or is he shorter than you?
He's a little bit shorter, you know, and bigger.
Yeah.
Know.
Okay. Because it was interesting. You got to be able to learn whatever their great trait is. It's neat to listen and learn what theirs is, then how it incorporates in your body and your frame, just like Leroy and Jason itself.
Yeah, you just take whatever you can from them and add it to your own game. I mean, if you have to put your own spin on it to make it comfortable for you, then that's what you do. And you just take like 2-3 pass rush moves from them or keys or whatever, and you work those and you keep doing that throughout your career, and eventually you just have a nice little well of knowledge
game. When you think about a guy like John Randall, did you ever watch him as a pass rusher, or were you guys too far from each other being in Minnesota, Dallas?
No, I remember the first time I ever saw John Randall, some highlights of him was in college. I had, defensive line coach Terry Price.
Right.
And he showed me film of him, and I was just always been impressed of him. You know, and matter of fact, that's who Glover reminded me of.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's kind of why I asked the question, right, because there were similarities between Leroy Glover and John Randall.
We got to take a time out. I didn't get to ask about Lance Briggs. We'll do that next with Jeremiah Ratliff.
Sorry.
And Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows, alongside Championship Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. Jeremiah Ratliff, the Bears defensive tackle, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. It's not just Packer Week here at Halas Hall, but Lance Briggs with an interesting time to start talking about his future with 8 games left in the season. And I know everyone's football mortality hits them at a different time. And, you know, he's missed 10 games out of the last 17 that he's played, something like that, over the last couple of years. So you start to think about that. But he was asked about his future and decided to say that in all likelihood, and I don't think it's a surprise, but you know, he's on the last year of his contract, and he brought up publicly that this is probably his last season as a Chicago Bear. Were you surprised?
He was asked, and he's a veteran, so he's got to answer the question. It doesn't mean it's the right way that the circumstances are going to happen. And every time you're a veteran, you get to these double-digit years, there's a lot of things that start going through your head, but it can only answer the question in the way that Lance has learned through his experiences throughout his career and seeing his friends, you know, finish their careers in the way it's unceremoniously happened to a lot of us. You know, I got cut by the Bears. So not everybody has that big hallway that's going to have a bunch of rose petals on it to walk out of your NFL opportunity.
Peyton Manning may be the greatest quarterback that's ever played the game, and his old team said goodbye. It's the way the league operates.
Drew Brees, you know, the San Diego could have had him for a long time, and they didn't want him because of a shoulder injury and stuff.
So. Now, you haven't been with Lance Briggs for a long time, but you've seen enough over the last couple of seasons. What stands out about him that we might not know, because you get a chance to experience practices with him, the locker room, all that kind of stuff?
And I mean, I'm still getting to know him, but what I've seen, you know, like, he's definitely a leader on this team, very humble, approachable, and, you know, just hardworking, and, you know, and tries to do everything the right way. You know, he really cares about the game of football, and, you know, as a player and, you know, as highly, you know, as decorated as he is, you know, that's a guy that, you know, I'll ride with him.
He brings it on.
Yeah,
yeah. He brings it on game day. And players know players. I think that says a lot about what you just said right there. You know, they asked me today on the radio, you know, where does he rank? And you played with Singletary, Tom, and, you know, we got to watch Urlacher, and Bill George was here, who started the whole middle linebacker position, and then you went to Dick Butkus, and there have been some great linebackers. I don't know if he's at that level, but if he's not one, he's 1A in terms of that next level of great.
Well, you got to put Doug Buffone in there, too. You're talking about these guys that played 15, 16, 17 years. There's a lot of great linebackers, and Lance is right there with any of them. You look at his performance, you look at his instincts, his development, his dedication to the game. You know, everybody's built differently. Everybody looks differently. You take the jersey off of Luke Kuechly, he's going to look a lot different than Lance Briggs, and you're going to look a lot different than Sam Mills did 20 years ago, who's passed away since, but he was 5'6" and a half. So to me, it's always about Lance's dedication. Right. When he needed to be there at the most important times, that he was there and he was ready to go. So I have a lot of fond memories of Lance. I feel bad that that question was even asked, because at the midway point in the season, you shouldn't even be thinking about that.
But you know that it's still the reality of the fact that football's a business. So you know it's in the back of his mind. And that means you're going to get the – if he's healthy, man, you're going to get the best of Lance Briggs over the second half of this season, I think.
It's a good – hey, it's a good thing for Jerry. You know what?
I believe that too, right?
You know,
My thing is just keep him clean, man.
You know, Jeremiah, it's funny because Steve McMichael used to walk out before the start of every game, and he'd say, okay, Singletary, me and Hampton are going to keep you clean so you can make another Pro Bowl. And that's what it's about. It's about the defensive tackles and their relationship with the linebackers. And, you know, it's part of the game that you get to contribute to Lance's success.
It is. That's something that I often, you know, talk to him about. It's just like, look, I don't mind taking on all these double teams, sometimes triple teams, whatever, as long as you make the play, you know. I don't care. And that's the mentality.
I think your second sack against Miami, you were getting double teamed. You came all the way around and chased Tannehill. Was that your second sack that you chased him?
I really don't even remember.
Yeah, it
anymore.
Was, because Willie Young came up the outside and you came around after those guys double teamed in your line of scrimmage and came off it.
Hey, after the New England game, Jared Allen, and I don't know if he just said it out of frustration, but he talked about how he has to find that half step, and then a lot was made. Oh, man, he's lost it and all this kind of stuff. And then the other day he has a chance to talk to us for the first time since. And he's like, man, I can still run a 4.6. Don't count me out. Yeah. And you see him every day. Is he ready? And I don't think that enough has been made of the fact that, you know, he missed a little bit of time during training camp because of the birth of his child. He had the shoulder injury, I believe. And then, you know, pneumonia, which is a serious deal, and you lose who you are physically. But now that he's gotten a chance to get the weight back and get in the kind of shape he needs to be, you see him. What do you see when you watch him out there in games and in practices?
I don't see a man who lost a step, I tell you that. As I said earlier, I mean, this is the game where you're constantly learning. You're constantly, you know, adjusting and adapting and, you know, tweaking what needs to be fixed. Now, him saying that, you know, I don't believe at all, you know, that he was saying, you know, he was losing a step, he was getting older. When we're looking at film and quarterbacks are getting the ball out fast, I mean, as a D lineman, we all ask ourselves, how can we get there
right,
faster?
Right. He was talking about how he meant from a technique fundamental standpoint.
Right. How to convert, you know, to a pass rush fast, you know, after, you know, playing run. Those are the little minor details that he was talking about. And you can, I mean, it's the media. I mean, they're going to take things and twist it up, especially, you know, when, you know, you're going through a time of adversity or whatever as far as a team. You know, media is really going to try to find, you know, something to – everyone needs a reason why. But we're going to all turn all this around.
Right, and it's getting a chance to unload and like they did in the Atlanta game, but like you did in the San Francisco game ultimately. It's making sure, like we talked about earlier, every phase of the team pulls their own weight so you can get the defensive line into the right to rush the passer, where you get Matt Forte to have the right to get important carries in the fourth quarter that's resulting in time of possession, and you're creating quality field position with your special teams. I think as much as if Jaron's talking about a half a step, it's a team half a step. It's not Jared Allen, you know, getting that quicker.
True.
It's about everybody being able to speed up the tempo.
See, it must have killed both of you guys. I'm talking about you and Jared Allen. When you're watching what Aaron Rodgers was doing to the Bears defense in that first game at Soldier Field, and you know that you can probably have an impact if you were out there on the field, but you're not playing and you see the same thing happening over and over again. That can change this week, though. That's the magic of football.
Well, that's anytime you miss any time, any game or anything like that, I mean, yeah, it does hurt. You know, you always want to be out there, you know, competing with your brethren. But we're definitely, you know, looking forward to be different. You, as I said before, this is a must-win game for us, and we're going to bring it.
Are you a night? Is there any type of time game you like, noon, 3 o'clock, Sunday night, Monday night game? Does it not matter to you?
I don't care anymore.
Really?
I really don't. Just say, hey, give me the schedule, you know, give me the itinerary, what are we supposed to do, and
temperature?
I don't care about that either.
Natural grass, sports turf?
No, natural grass.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
All right. No, I care about that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, if we're on turf and, you know, it's Sunday, then we're back
right.
on turf.
You're going to play on whatever you're on, but if you could have your preference, it's nice to have that nice, soft, cushiony grass when you lay out.
Yeah, I mean, like – people talk about, you know, the cold. Oh, man, it's football season. Grass is football.
Right,
that's
right.
Football. That's real football.
And that's why it drives me crazy sometimes when people talk about the surface at Soldier Field. I think if they had to play on field turf, yeah, it looks nicer on television, but if you had to play on it the way you guys do, I mean, it does take its toll on you physically.
It does. It does. I think turf is painful. And I was reading somewhere, like, the stats of injury goal, like, what, 33% or something like that? But, you know.
Yeah, and then, I'm there are a lot of different things you can say about what happened to Lamar Houston, but that injury doesn't happen on natural grass, I don't think.
Right, I agree. I mean, I'm a big fan of natural grass. And, because you came from the old school AstroTurf, right? You had to play on that surface. Because that was, that would be a little bit more burning type of things. And nowadays you get a lot of rubber pellets in your face and stuff. So it's all different.
Coming up, we'll find out a little bit about the newest Bears, the youngsters that are on the defensive line. We'll get the scouting report from Jeremiah Ratliff next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is one of those shows, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Halas Hall. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. Jeremiah Ratliff, the Bears defensive tackle, our guest. And it's been a very revealing and interesting conversation with Jeremiah, because you just see – Tom always likes to say, a hungry football player is a good football player. And when you enter the league as a seventh-round draft pick and get to the kind of status you're at now, I think that proves his point, doesn't it?
Right. I don't think you ever lose that hunger either.
Right. Right. And that's the unique thing about it, is you see these guys like Peyton Manning that you go, man, how can he be so dedicated? I think that goes from every guy to every position, from Jermon Bushrod to yourself to Jared to Willie and all these guys that, man, you're dedicated to the sport. It is you. It is your life, and it is you even when you're done playing. Let me tell you that at 53 years old, it's not that you just all of a sudden drop the desire and you don't have that feeling that, percolates in you every once in a while.
Yeah.
Is that something that you need to pass along to two of the younger guys on the interior of the line in Will Sutton and Eagle Ferguson, or did they come in there with that mentality to begin with?
I think they came in with the mentality to begin with. Like, from day one, since I've met them anyways, they came, they asked questions, they'll tell you, hey, look, I want to get, right beside you. I want to learn what you know. And, and they do that every day. Now, one day we've, had a practice, OTAs, mini camps, whatever, that one of them is not there, asking somebody questions, so they definitely have a love for it.
Do they each have individual type traits, or are they both similar type players? Is Eagle going to have to cultivate one aspect of his talent and Will Sutton another, or are they going to be able to grow in this game together because they're going to be doing a lot of the same things together?
Answer C. I believe that they'll grow in this game together. They have both, like two different styles of playing. Eagle's style is, I'm a little more familiar with that, playing in the SEC,
right?
And knowing how he's coached, and Will has his own unique style, I think they're both going to play in this league, for a long time.
When I see Eagle, he's got the eyes that reads the quarterback as if he's getting blocked on the line of scrimmage. But what I like about Will Sutton is he's willing to throw his body into the quarterback near the sideline. Not in an injury type way.
Right, right.
Just of a way, you better be aware of me because I can run you down. And I'm impressed in how well Will Sutton runs in space.
Well, they both can run. They both can really run in space. You'll be surprised. But what they're doing there is they're just finishing. That's something you can try to, coach and teach. But when it's a whole lot easier when you got guys like, Will and Ego who are willing to do it.
Well, I'd be unfair not to talk about Stephen Paya, because, Stephen Paya, he's really using his athleticism and his strength together this year for, like a veteran. I mean, you could see the talent developing in him, but Stephen is a guy that's starting to take his talent to another level.
Well, absolutely. I think more than anything, it was just technical things with him. And when Pascalone came in, all those things, were fixed. He's playing with a little different style, a little different techniques, definitely more use of the hands. And it's really been helping him. He's able to use his strength.
You talk about you guys' self-correction. Going back to the New England game, it was like the third play of the game, the center kind of gets Stephen Paya hooked, and then the 17th play, he tries it again. Stephen shoves him aside and makes a tackle for a two-yard loss. It's nice to see those young guys making those self-corrections within maybe a series or two in the game.
Yeah, and as you know, that's all part of the game.
Right.
When you're out there, you know, no game plan is perfect. You know, no call is perfect. You just have to, you know, make it work. You have to adapt. And I think that, you know, that's something that we do.
What about for you? Do you do that to the offensive linemen, or do they try to do it to you?
I like to dictate what happens at all. So, yeah.
And that is going to be a major change that takes place Sunday night when Jeremiah Ratliff is back in the lineup as the Bears take on the Packers. Big week, big one-game season for the Bears. Jeremiah, thank you so much for joining us.
For
Tom Thayer,
you,
I'm Zach Zabin, Greg Miller, Paul Zerang, and Brendan McCaffrey for helping us blast through the speakers of your radio. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.